Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hello, boys.
How you doing?
Monday.
Happy to see you. Sorry, I cut you off. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland Schmier Jewelry Store. So, Jake keeps giving me a conditional vibe about the Guardians. I've said it feels inevitable that the Guardians will win the AL Central, and he's being a wuss. Do you agree he's being a wuss?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Jake, defend yourself.
Big Weege is being Little Weege right now.
Ooh, Little Weege energy. You never like that.
Listen, I think that they get it done. Oh. No, hold on. There's a line between the word inevitable and thinking it happens. I do think they win the AL Central. I've watched this team for 156 games take me on an absolute roller coaster, is playing out of their mind when it comes to starting pitching, still has not lived up to the standard when it comes to offense across the board. I think there's absolutely room here to drop the ball in six games. I think it's a guarantee.
I have not heard or seen as much backpedaling than I am right now since a safety used to play under Greg Williams in his defense.
Look at that. He played in Euclid, and his name was Jabril Peppers.
Yes,
a lot of backpedaling.
Yeah.
About 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Listen, Daryl knows. You're dealing with a man that had two guarantees of victory on Sunday. And so how is it a bad day?
It's a great day for you. It's a bad day to be with you right now and not guaranteeing something.
Yeah,
it's a bad day to be alongside of you.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah,
that's
it's victory
fine.
Lap on victory
I'd
lap
I'd prefer
you.
That it's a bad day for you as long as it's a good day for me. I guess we'll get to Browns victory Monday. I had said with 4 minutes to go in that game, we were leading Guardians today. And then the universe, we crossed some parallel universe or some alternate timeline. For you, I guess we'll just get to, when was the moment you actually thought they were going to win?
When Andre Schmidt's kick went over the bar and through the sticks.
That's the right answer, by the way. That is. I don't believe Ken said today, I knew it was going to go through.
No.
Bull.
No. I have seen way too many games to understand how the movie typically ends. And that was atypical. I said it with the morning guys. I'm used to watching the Browns lose games in that fashion where they're up 10 with 3:40 on the clock and then they lose. And it was nice to see the Browns turn the tables. The offense did just enough in the final 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Granted, special teams, nice change of pace. They actually made a couple plays yesterday. Not used to seeing that, but that was pretty good. The defense finally got themselves a turnover. Grant Delpit with the interception. And in spite of the offense's best efforts to try and lose that game, they were able to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, which again is a nice change of pace. So kudos to all involved. Premium execution, all three phases. I'm going to say for the final 3.5 minutes of the game. I can't say the final 4 minutes of the game because they did start with a first and goal at the 1, and it ended up a third and goal from the 21, and they had to settle for a 35-yard field goal. But after that 35-yard field goal, superb execution in all three phases for the Browns to come back and steal that one from the Packers.
Daryl, obviously, we watched 56 minutes of football where the offense did not look great. Is there enough room here that we look at a Joe Flacco-led offense and there's enough that they get better and the defense can carry you far enough to actually produce more wins for this team?
Yeah, I don't know if they can get better, but here's the sad truth. They should be 2-1 right now. Should have won week one. So they did enough outside of the missed kicks to win week one. So what this has told me is that the defense is for real. That's a Super Bowl contender they beat yesterday. That is an elite football team that the Browns came back in the final 4 minutes of a game and stole a win from. And I think that says something about this football team, because let's be honest about it, had they lost that game, and there was a point in the fourth quarter, and I posted on X, that 10-0 deficit felt like 30-0 with the way things were going offensively. It really did. And I was wondering if they were going to get shut out. I was wondering if they were even going to score any points. And then you got a couple of pops from Quinshon Judkins, and they got that field goal to make it 10-3, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, well, if they can get a stop, and the defense certainly capable of that, I don't know. Is the offense actually capable of driving down the field here late in the game and putting a touchdown on the board to give us some free football? Well, Grant Delpit went ahead and helped him out with the big interception and returning it inside the 5-yard line there to set the offense up to get that tying touchdown. And then you have special teams. You think they're going to lose with the less than 30 seconds to go there. Green Bay's lining up for the 35-yard field goal. Boom, Shelby Harris gets his paw on it. Greg Newsom's Johnny on the spot to scoop it up and take the ball near midfield and into a position where the Browns did not need a lot of yardage to get into field goal range to be able to get a kickoff. And again, the execution in the final 12 seconds was, my goodness, that was textbook. Kevin Stefanski on Zoom today, a little tongue-in-cheek, said we're going to be on a lot of training tape this week because teams are going to want to know, hey, can we really do that in 12 seconds? And, well, the Browns showed you they can do it in 10 because that's how long it took them to complete a 8-9-yard pass, get up, spike the football, and stop the clock so the field goal unit had plenty of time to get on and try a game winner.
Daryl, who needed that win the most from the Browns' point of view?
I think Kevin Stefanski did. You saw the videos online of just his. He's not an emotional man when it comes to showing emotion a lot of times. And we've seen the last couple of years some instances where that emotion comes out. But, man, the emotion that came out from him as he was leaving the field and going into the tunnel to go into the locker room, and then you watch the post-game congratulatory speech that he gave, he needed that win. I feel like he really, really needed that win of anyone in that locker room. And that's – look, the players needed it too. You saw Joel Bitonio and Myles Garrett and those guys. But I think Kevin Stefanski really, really needed that win, and that really gave, I think, the organization a big shot in the arm. Because, again, you beat a Super Bowl contender and stole a win from them.
Daryl, we got updates today from Kevin Stefanski on the offensive tackles. Conklin day-to-day. DeJuan Jones, unfortunately, out for the season. Where does this offensive line go? It's been spotty play so far, and they just got one spot weaker not having DeJuan going forward.
Well, I don't know if you guys picked up on it. I posted the video clip online. Kevin was asked about, you know, losing DeJuan and how's he been doing. Kevin really seemed to struggle saying something really nice about DeJuan. Like, he didn't want to, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like he was just glowing with compliments with DeJuan. That caught my attention a little bit. But I do think that they're not going to remain status quo. It would not surprise me if they went out and tried to find themselves some offensive line help on the waiver wire here. Because all of a sudden that line is really thin. And, you know, this is two straight weeks now that Jack Conklin with the elbow is unable to go, you know, day to day. Yeah, we're all day to day. He was day to day last week. He was day to day the week before, and he didn't play. So when you're down your two, as we talk right now, you're down your two starting tackles. I think they're going to have to make a move possibly here.
Yeah, it's almost like Kevin spent last week saying one thing and DeJuan spent last week saying another thing. is Kevin making the right decision staying with Joe Flacco going forward?
Yes, because for two reasons. One, I understand the results have been what the results have been offensively. I get that. And I understand Joe's limitations at 40 and all that. He still gives you a best chance to win. I don't think you can sell Dylan Gabriel to that locker room right now and say, oh, by the way, you know, we just had this big emotional win over the Green Bay Packers. You know, they're probably going to go to the Super Bowl this year. And we're just going to bench Joe and go to Dylan. I think that because the whole point of playing Dylan as a third round pick this year, guys, it's to evaluate. They've got the two first rounders next year. They got to figure out, do we have anything in the building that's worthwhile? And then also to, inform their decision making process when it comes to the usage of those picks and maybe what they may or may not have to do come next April. So for me, when you start playing Dylan Gabriel, you're going into evaluation mode. And the other thing, too, is how do you sell that to the veterans, especially on the defensive side of the football, who are just playing lights out? It's the best defense in the NFL right now. And I realize that they had 41 dropped on them in Baltimore, but that was more, I think, a byproduct of them just totally getting gassed. But look how they played against Cincinnati. Look how they played against the Green Bay Packers. This is a premier defensive unit, and I frankly don't think you can sell to that locker room right now a quarterback change. Had they lost the game, next week they've got Detroit. Obviously, it's Detroit week. Guardians got the Tigers and can finish them off. And then you've got Browns and Lions on Sunday. Then I think maybe you can have an honest conversation. But if anything, this win I think, buys Joe Flacco a little more time.
Daryl, you're welcome for me guaranteeing wins on Friday. And
I appreciate that. You know what, Nick? It is because of you that everybody in Northeast Ohio is in a much better mood this morning and this afternoon. And I am able to be in a good mood and, you know, get on Little Weej over there. He needs to get his act together. If you get, you know, I said the Guardians this morning, we're winning the division. No hesitation.
Yep.
No hesitation.
You're not
a couching.
Coward.
Nope. No, if that, none, this, nope. They're going to win the division. I said it, and that's how you got to be.
Yep. That's how you got to live. I will say this. It's the players. All right. They won that game. And it's the coaches. And then right under there.
You get a supporting credit.
I get like a co-producing credit in like Hollywood parlance there. Daryl, great stuff, buddy.
You bet. If anything, a special thanks to Nick Wilson.
Look at that. I will take a special thanks. That's what you get right before the in memoriam at the Emmys or the Oscars, by the way, is a special thanks. Well, a Lifetime Achievement Award. I'll also take one of those. Great show with Daryl there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We will have more on the Browns decision at quarterback coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, but quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.